Thank you. So my presentation today is entitled Postpartum Contraceptive Use Among Adolescent Mothers. And my co-authors for this paper are Christina Fowler, who's here today, and Helen Koo, both of whom are also at RTI International. I have no relationships to disclose. And just as background, rapid repeat pregnancies are common among adolescent mothers. 20% of births to teens are to teens who have already had one child. And many teens become pregnant again shortly after giving birth. Across various studies have found between 10 and 12% of teen mothers being pregnant again within 1 year, and between 24 and 42% pregnant again within 2 years. For women of all ages, rapid repeat pregnancies are associated with negative birth outcomes and higher rates of infant mortality. And specifically for teens, having a second birth before the age of 20 is associated with other negative outcomes, such as a decreased likelihood of finishing high school and a reduced likelihood of attaining economic self-sufficiency. So effective postpartum contraceptive use is key to helping reduce the rates of rapid repeat pregnancy among adolescent mothers. And studies have found that the large majority of teen mothers start hormonal contraception shortly after delivery, but then there's a rapid drop-off over time in the rates of contraceptive use. And again, looking across various studies, have found one-year discontinuation rates of oral contraceptives between 68 and 73%, and one-year discontinuation rates for Depo-Provera between 37 and 66% among adolescent mothers. So which methods teens use after delivery is strongly related to the rates of rapid repeat pregnancy and contraceptive discontinuation. And longer-acting methods have been found to be much more effective at preventing a repeat pregnancy than shorter-acting methods. However, to our knowledge, there are no population-based data on the contraceptive methods used by teen mothers that are available. And it's also important to understand the factors that may influence contraceptive method choice among teen mothers in the postpartum period. And in particular, prenatal visits and postpartum checks represent an important opportunity to discuss with teen mothers their contraceptive methods and their choices. So the objectives of this study are, first of all, to use a large population-based sample to describe postpartum contraceptive use among adolescent mothers and to assess the relationship of these two factors, receipt of a prenatal contraceptive counseling and a postpartum visit on contraceptive method use among adolescent mothers. So for our data, we're using a pregnancy risk assessment monitoring system, or PRAMS. We're using data from the years 2004 to 2006. The study during that period comprised 27 states and New York City. It's a state-specific random sample of mothers that are selected from birth certificates, and they're mailed a self-administered questionnaire 2 to 4 months after delivery, and if they don't respond to repeated mailings, they're followed up with a telephone survey. The states whose data is included in the sample all have a response rate of 70% or higher. And it collects information on health behaviors and outcomes before, during, and after pregnancy. And there's a set of core questions which are asked in all of the reporting areas in PRAMS, and then there's a set of optional questions, or standard questions as PRAMS calls them, which are used only in some of the reporting areas. So for our analysis, we're limiting our sample to 5 states, Arkansas, New York State, not including New York City, Rhode Island, South Carolina, and West Virginia, and New York City, which is a separate sampling unit, because these are the states that had 2 of the optional questions that were important for our analysis. Specific contraceptive method used at the time of survey, all of them ask yes or no, are they using a method, but only a subset of the states asked which method they were using, and whether or not they received a postpartum visit. We limit the sample to adolescents ages 15 to 19, and we excluded teens who were already pregnant, again, at the time of the survey, 66, and 366 teens who had missing values for some of the variables. So the total sample was 3,377 teens, and weighted this as representative of all teens giving birth in these 6 reporting areas during 2004 to 2006. So the dependent variable is the most effective contraceptive method used at the time of the survey. And we grouped this into, six different categories. When we were first asked, the question is, are you or your husband or partner doing anything now to keep from getting pregnant? And then if they said yes, they were asked which method they were using. And if they said no, they were asked for what reasons they were not using a method. And one of those reasons was that they could indicate that they were not currently sexually active. So based on the responses to those questions, we identified women who were not using any method but not having sex, not using any method but having sex, which we assumed if they didn't say not having sex was one of the reasons for not using a method. Condoms, withdrawal or other methods, pills, injectables, patch or ring, and IUD or sterilization. The independent variables are both dichotomous, whether or not they received contraceptive counseling during prenatal care and whether or not they had a postpartum check. So we had a number of controls: age, race, ethnicity, marital status, whether or not they had a previous live birth, health insurance coverage prior to pregnancy, whether or not they used a contraceptive method prior to pregnancy, and whether or not they were breastfeeding at the time of the survey, the reporting area, and the number of months since delivery at the time of the survey. We conducted multinomial logistic regression, and to simplify the interpretation, we calculated predicted probabilities from the coefficients and conducted pairwise significant tests for differences. We used Sudan to adjust for the complex survey design and non-response and non-coverage. And we'll be presenting unweighted ends and weighted percents. So just briefly, the sample characteristics: the large majority, about two-thirds, were older teens, 18 to 19. Close to half are white, and most of the rest are either black or Hispanic. When the sample, there's a lot of weighting by state. So when it's weighted, Rhode Island and West Virginia represent relatively small proportions of the sample population, with the other states being larger proportions. The large majority are unmarried, have not had a previous live birth. Most of them did not use contraception prior to pregnancy. Most of them on our two independent variables, around 85% received prenatal contraceptive counseling, and about 85% had a postpartum check. Most were not breastfeeding at the time of the survey. Only 16% were. And the median time since delivery at the time of the survey was 4 months, and the large majority were between 3 and 5 months at the time of the survey. So looking at our results, just looking at the individual methods, we can see that nearly 20% of teens were not using any contraceptive method. And about half of these were sexually active, and about half were not sexually active. And then the most common methods used were the pill at about 27%, followed by injectables and condoms, and then smaller proportions were using the patch, ring, IUD, very small proportion using either male or female sterilization, and about 3% other methods, which is largely withdrawal. So when we look at, for the multivariate analysis, we group these into categories by type. But the condom withdrawal other is mostly condoms. The injectables patch ring is largely injectables, but also a fair amount of patch and not a whole lot of ring. So I'm going to go through these individually after this slide, but just as an overview, we found in our multinomial regression model that the prenatal contraceptive counseling was not significantly associated with the method used postpartum, but postpartum check was significantly associated. And the control variables that were significant in the model were race, ethnicity, whether they'd had a previous live birth, contraceptive use before pregnancy, whether or not they were breastfeeding at the time of the survey, and the reporting area. So I'll be presenting the results and these kinds of graphs showing the predicted probabilities according to the categories of the independent variables. The most effective methods are at the top. We have IUD and sterilization in the purple, followed by the longer acting hormonal methods, injectables, patch and ring, pills in the green, condoms, as I said, it's primarily condoms, but also a little bit of withdrawal, and they're in the orange. And then those who are not sexually active at the bottom, the ones who are not using any method and having sex, so the unprotected sex in the blue, and then those who are abstaining or not having sex in the red. And as we can see here, prenatal contraceptive counseling was not significant, and we see very little difference between those who had prenatal contraceptive counseling and those who did not in terms of their contraceptive use. Postpartum check, in contrast, was highly significant, and we can see that those who had a postpartum check, it was highly associated with having increased hormonal method use, both pills and then the injectables, patch and ring, and a decreased use of, significantly decreased use of condoms, and also of having unprotected sex, of using no method and having sex in the blue. And I'm not going to go through all of these, but we can see that there are some notable differences by reporting area. For example, just taking South Carolina, which is on the far right, they were significantly less likely than some of the other states to be using an IUD, and significantly more likely to be using hormonal methods, injectables, patch or ring, and pills. And then New York City, in contrast, which is right next to it, had significantly higher levels of condom use and also much higher unprotected sex than some of the other reporting areas. By race ethnicity, the only factors that were significant here were that Hispanics were more likely to use IUDs than blacks, and the other race ethnicity, which was a fairly small group, but they look pretty dramatically different from the others. The 50% are using pills, which is much higher than the others, and a very low proportion that were using no method and not having sex. I just point out here that we don't have any way of knowing among those who were using a method whether or not they're sexually active or not, because that's not a question in PRAMS, whether or not they're sexually active. It's only among the non-users that they were asked if not being having sex was a reason for non-use. And by previous live birth, those who had a previous live birth were less likely to be using pills and more likely to be using IUDs or sterilization. And those who were using a contraceptive method before pregnancy were less likely to be using no method while being sexually active, so less likely to have unprotected sex, and they were more likely to be in the yellow to be using injectables, patch, or ring than those who had not had a live birth previously. And finally, those who were breastfeeding had a much lower level of oral contraceptive use, which is not surprising, but we see if you look at the line connecting the bottom of the two green bars, we can see that the decrease in pill use is not made up for by an increase in other highly effective methods. So teens who are breastfeeding are at increased risk of pregnancy. So just to run through a few limitations, this is a large population-based sample, but it's from six specific areas. It's not a national sample. And as we saw, there was a lot of variation across the reporting areas, so results might be very different in other parts of the country. Response rate for adolescents was somewhat lower than for the PRAMS overall. It was 66% for this sample. It's self-reported data, so there's possibilities of response error of various types. And it's cross-sectional, so we can't determine the direction of causality. And then some limitations about the measures. Although we know whether or not they reported they were using a method, we don't know how consistently or correctly they were using the methods that they were using. The prenatal counseling and the postpartum check questions were basically just yes-no questions, and we don't really know anything about how comprehensive was this counseling. Did the postpartum check even include any information about contraception? So there's a lot there in terms of the quality of these services that we don't know. So just to summarize, we found that at an average of 4 months postpartum, there's a very high risk of rapid repeat pregnancy in this population, that 20% of teen mothers were not using any contraception 4 months postpartum, and more than half of these were sexually active. On the positive side, 36% were using intermediate or long-acting contraception, injectables, patch, or IUD. And IUD and implants have been found to be especially effective at preventing rapid repeat pregnancy and to be appropriate for adolescents. So it was notable that 4% of teens reported using an IUD. Again, this is 2004 to 2006. We thought this was encouraging that there are some teens who are using IUDs, but it's still a very low percentage, and there's a lot of room for increasing that. And none were using implants in this study, but the data were from 2004 to 2006, and Implanon was not available at that time. So it would be interesting to see now what the method distribution might look like a few years later as IUDs continue to be more popular and as Implanon has become more widely available. So we found that having a postpartum check was strongly associated with the use of hormonal methods, but the exact mechanism by which it may have this effect isn't entirely clear. Other research has suggested that a large majority of teens receive a lot of information about contraception at the time of delivery, and a lot leave with either a method or a prescription for a method. But it may be that many teens have problems in the 6 intervening weeks before the postpartum visit, and that the postpartum visit is an important opportunity to talk to them, to help them deal with any problems they may be having with their method, or to find a method that may be more suitable. So that may be one way in which the postpartum visit is having an effect on contraceptive method use. And in contrast, we found that the prenatal contraceptive counseling was not associated with the contraceptive method used. And studies have suggested that it is a very important time, that it's a better time to be talking about postpartum contraceptive use than during delivery, where there's a lot of other things to talk about and teens can be overwhelmed. So it was interesting that we found that it wasn't associated. And one factor may be that maybe it's just too far in time that teens, when they're pregnant, aren't ready to be thinking about their postpartum contraceptive method. Another possibility is, as I said, we had no way of assessing how good the counseling was, and it could be that comprehensive, in-depth, high-quality counseling during the prenatal period would have an effect, but just a mention of, you know, are you interested in using a method, or here's some methods that you might think about, that maybe that isn't enough to have an effect on use. So just a few recommendations are to encourage use of implants and IUDs among adolescents, as I commented, the very low rates of use of these methods, which have been found to be one of the strongest predictors of delaying a repeat pregnancy among adolescents. Encouraging, emphasizing the importance of the postpartum visit, because that does seem to have a big effect. Notably, though, only 15% of the teens did not have a postpartum visit, so that is a good sign that the large majority of the teens are going for a postpartum visit. The fact that teens who did not use a method prior to pregnancy were much more likely to not be using a method after pregnancy also suggests that it would be useful to identify those teens during the prenatal and or postpartum period and recognize that these teens are going to need extra support to help encourage effective postpartum contraceptive use. And finally, ensuring that breastfeeding teens understand their risk of pregnancy and encourage use of effective contraception. And only 15% of teens were still breastfeeding, and only a fifth of those were breastfeeding exclusively at the time of the survey. So they're not getting very much contraceptive protection from their breastfeeding. And it also suggests a few directions for future research. It was interesting, the differences between the reporting areas, and it wasn't entirely clear, like, are there differences in programs or policies across these areas that might help to explain some of these differences that could be interesting to learn from. It would also be useful to learn more about what is the content of the contraceptive counseling during prenatal care and postpartum, and the characteristics of those counseling that might help to lead to more effective use. And just tracking changes as IUDs and Implanon become more common to see if the method mix that teens are using is changing with time. Just like to acknowledge the Office of Population Affairs for funding the research. And that is all. Yes, that would be a very interesting question. And unfortunately, that is one of the limitations of PRAMS data, is because it's for women overall. There are a lot of questions that are particularly relevant for adolescents that they do not collect data on. So we don't know We only know whether they're married or not, and we don't know anything else about their relationships or who they're living with or any other variables like that. Well, again, there's no data on STD issues in PRAMS. We did take a look at dual method use, but it wasn't clear the way the question is asked. It isn't clear if teens are, or if women are using it alternately, like, oh, I use condoms when I don't take the pill. The method, the proportion who reported that they were using a hormonal method and a condom was very high. It was something like 50%, which just seemed unreasonable, and so we are dubious that that's true dual method use, using both methods at the same time. So we weren't really able to get into that question about are they using effective STD prevention